Praise the Lord. Well, before I try anything, I know it isn't in this message, and part of his message, but I'd like for Brother Prescott, I want to give Brother Roger this mic here in a minute. I want him to take it over Brother Prescott. I want him to stand and read. He's talking about Habakkuk. And I'd like for him to stand and read chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19. I know he knows what it is, and if he felt led to the Lord, he'd used it, but I want him to use it for my sake.
You want me to start at verse 17? Is that right?
Yeah.
Going back 16. Okay. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like that, didn't you?
I love it.
Hallelujah. You know, there's one good thing about that animal, the hind. He never has to worry about, or she never has to worry about, where their back feet are going to place, because God put it in them that if they put their front feet down, their back feet is going to be right exactly where their front feet when they step forward. So they can go up on ledges, precipice, and they don't have to worry about falling, because those hind feet always step right where the front feet step.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
Praise the Lord. Well,
I
may have told this, but I read years ago this. I don't know what writer it was told about. He was out on some ranch out west. He went out to be there. They gave him a horse to ride. And so they told him they was going to go take care of some cattle, and they was going to go up over this mountain, but they told him to go around. And they said, why? And he asked them why. He said, well, they said, because your horse been used in the city, and it's lost the ability to put its hind feet where its front feet are. And said, that horse will fall. It's lost that ability. But he said, our horses are raised out here, and they put their hind feet where their front feet are, and so we can ride over the mountain. Well, I'd like to stand tuned with the Lord, wouldn't you? Make my feet like hind's feet. Don't have to worry about slipping, sliding, or falling back. I know I'm going to make it. How, by the grace of God? Good to be with you, and I've thought so many things, and I want to thank you for the offering, but I thought about coming down here. My son-in-law came with me, and Brother Roger, I'm going to check this out. Brother Randy, I'm going to check this out. You said I was so young-looking. I said, I can't have a son-in-law looking that old. There's something wrong here somewhere, but anyway... Anyway, since he bragged on me, we're glad to have him with us. And also, we're glad to have Brother Jodine Stidman with us. Jodine come walking in church one morning. Of course, Jodine's grandma and my wife are first cousins. She attends our church regularly. And so he come walking in the church one morning carrying his Bible. He'd been away from the Lord for some time. And, of course, we stood up with his mother and dad. We were stood up with them in their wedding and always been close. And he come walking in the door, and my wife went back there, and she said, Jodine, have you prayed through? He's carrying his Bible. She said, I sure have. And my wife grabbed him and hugged him and shouted. And so he had a job, and he got hurt on the job, and he hadn't been able to go back to work yet. And I asked him to come with us, and we're so glad he came with us. Amen.
Yeah.
But I started to say, we didn't get in this morning until 3:30, or about 3:30. I looked at the clock before I went started studying, and it's about 3:30. But the reason why was yesterday was a weekend. I knew I had some people going to family reunion, And Brother Ronnie, he pastored church, and he had several people going to be gone. And we decided we just couldn't leave our little flock till after. We couldn't be here for church anyway, so we decided we'd just rather stay with our flock for the morning and then come and be late. And I remember Brother Junior Collins used to, he'd come and he'd tell you how far he drove and what all he'd been through and how in, you know, unprepared he was. And pretty soon he'd smile and he'd say, well, I'll probably preach just as good or bad as if I hadn't have done all this, you know. He figured it all out. So that's probably where we are this morning. If we don't do good, and I was thinking something else, I was going to look up some things. And Sister Prescott got up here and got to testifying and doing so good. I thought, I can't miss this. And I looked at Brother Prescott and I thought, well, if I'm going to fail, I can't think of a better man to fail behind than Brother Prescott. Yeah. Amen. So I've just enjoyed the message this morning and the testimony of Sister Prescott, and just really enjoyed their singing. And I've enjoyed the singing here. You know, I like songs with a message. I really do. You know. Now, I used to like fox racing some and what have you. I didn't go a lot, but I've listened to them as a boy. People hunted a lot in the hills back then. But I really don't care about fox chasing and singing. I like to know what you're saying. I mean, I like fast songs, but I like to know what you're saying. Amen. And I'm not getting to this, but I will in a minute here. But I thought whenever Brother Prescott's preaching about Abraham, I loved it. When he said God wrote righteousness. Righteous. When he believed, he wrote righteous. But then he come right on and told us how that the just proves their righteousness by what they do. He circumcised the males just like God told him to. And I thought about that scripture, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, if he believes, he's going to go on. That's the way I look at it. See what I'm saying? If believing meant he wrote down righteous when he believed, then later Abraham followed truth. When we get saved, God writes down righteous, and later on we follow. Am I making sense? You see what I'm saying? And so I'm glad to be saved by grace through faith. Aren't you? All right, that's enough of that. I just wanted to kind of, it's hard to hear all that good preaching and not want to make some comment on it. And so I want to go to the book of Deuteronomy. And I want to tell you again, we're glad to be with you. Amen. When I preached for Brother Roberts, we were getting ready to move. Now I'm preaching you and I'm in the middle of moving. I didn't know it was old-fashioned to say slippers, but I lost a pair of slippers. My wife informed me, you don't say slippers anymore. So I'll use what we used in the Army. I lost a pair of low quarters. All right. And you know, you've heard that term, haven't you, Brother Jeffrey? Low quarters? Okay, you know what that is. Okay. And so I don't wear that. I left from Brother Mike's when I left over there, changed clothes. I got to get with him. I got to find them. The only good pair I've got. So I've got to find them. But anyway, and I had my wife, I told her, I didn't tell her, Colin, what I wanted to wear. I said, one thing I want to wear, I want to take those brown pants, I want to take that sport coat. And she said, well, that sport coat looked a little frayed around the sleeves, and started talking. I said, now look, we paid money to have that thing cleaned, and I want to take it. Well, guess what? You know why I ain't got it on? At least she didn't forget my pants. That's good. That's a great thing. Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter. Lord, help me. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother in thine hand shall release. Save when there shall be no more poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land. And I'm not preaching this, but I love this. He gave us a goal of trying to be where there be no poor among us, and then he told us there always will be. But your goal is to see that there isn't any. I like that. We always try to help the poor. Save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all these commandments which I command thee this day, for the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. Thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren with any of thy gates in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of the release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him aught not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to the poor and to the needy in thy land. And if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee, and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, out of thy floor, out of thy winepress, of that which the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore, I command thee this day, this thing today. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I wish you'd help me today. Lord, I ask you to. I want you, Lord, to bless me and help me to be able to express myself and give what I feel like you want me to preach to these people. God, would you lay your hand on the word, and would you lay your hand on my life? Would you guide me, Lord, and help me stand in the shadow of the cross and feel the drippings of Calvary, that my soul might be clean and my heart free to express the words of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I want to take this little time to get into this. And if 12 o'clock comes and I'm still taking a little time to get into it, you realize that I never made it. All right. But here's some thoughts that I want you to know, some observations that I want to use here. God had some laws that were to be used for the betterment of the economy of the people. And here are some things from the Biblical Illustrator that I want to give you. In the first place, there is legislation regarding the land. It proceeds from the idea that the land belongs to God. And that's, now, you know, in Mexico, they tell me you can't own land. It all belongs to the government. You just rent it. Here, we own it. We just have to pay for it all the time. All right? And anyway, it proceeds from the idea that the land belongs to God and has been given by him to the nation that own it as a foundation. It may live that life of labor, of health, of a natural piety to which he has called it. Besides the land, the book of Deuteronomy contains a variety of laws regarding money, particularly the lending of money. To begin with, the lending of money for interest was absolutely forbidden. The Israelites were not a commercial, but a farming people. And when a man borrowed, it was not to float or venture too great for his own means, but because he had got into difficulty and wanted relief. In other words, there wasn't anybody, going to borrow money to open another bank or something like that. If you borrowed money, it's because something happened, disease got in, your cows had died or something like that, or had a drought and your land hadn't produced. It was also to try to always to replenish that land and make it productive for you. When I think about this, I remember that the Bible said in the book of Matthew, Jesus said that concerning the talent, when he come and that man just had that one talent, said, why didn't you put it to the money exchangers, you know, that might gather usury? And then in the book of Luke on the pound, he said, why didn't you give it to the bank that it might gather usury or interest? So I would say probably in my way of thinking, that now, we do things differently. You know, we want to borrow money, but it's not to replenish the herd. It may be because we want to buy a house or two and or build one, and we want to try to see to make some money on that. I personally feel like that if you had a lot of money and I wanted to borrow some money and do something like that to speculate on, I really think that I should feel like I ought to pay interest. I don't believe it's wrong. You know, that's how the kings of Europe got into it, because it became Christianized, and they thought they couldn't have usury, so they hired the Jews to take care of their money, you know, and then they all wound up hating the Jews because they wound up with all the money. You know what I'm saying? Is that right? Is that historical? It is historical, isn't it? All right, so really when I look at this, I don't see. And I'm not here to preach on that, right or wrong. I'm just saying I don't see that since Jesus used that thought, that if you're going to be venturous and you're going to try to go into other things and you want money to do a capitalistic type of business, then you should be willing to pay a just. Now, I don't know, Bill Marquette, not Bill Burkett, but Bill Burkett, he said that usually was anything over 12%. Well, I like that, because right now I think 2 or 3% do good if you get that much, you know. So let's get up to where we're just right on the brink of going over into usury. If you got any money to lend, if I had any, I'd kind of like that. But anyway, I don't know that. So he said it's biblical. I never could find it, but if some of you know, I wish you'd show me, because I believed and knew what he's talking about. But I'm simply saying, as far as that's concerned, we didn't have no money to, because we wasn't going to try to do something else. We were just trying to sustain life. And that's the way I look at it. I don't know that I'm right on that. I'm not saying I'm right. But since Jesus used that, and I don't think Jesus wasted any words, then I think that you shouldn't feel badly if you go to somebody and you say, brother, I'd like to buy a new car, or I'd like to buy this, or I'd like to do something else. Amen. I don't think there's anything wrong with that man saying, well, all right, brother, that's fine. If you want to pay him, why wouldn't I? And I don't want to get stuck on this, but why wouldn't I want to pay a brother what I'd be willing to pay a bank? You see what I'm saying? If I'm willing to pay that bank, why is it wrong? Now, I know, and I know that's right. There's times when people have been hard up and they've loaned you money, they've loaned me money. It didn't cost me a penny's interest. We were hard up. We needed help. And I think that's a Christian way to do it. But if you're going to try to do something to make money, then use that fellow's money, then I think you say, that's all right to pay that brother interest to use his money. Amen. I'm not preaching on that. I don't know why I'm even on it. Amen. I guess I'm trying to make a point and wearing you out with it. All right. The third class of economical laws, which book largely in the book of Deuteronomy, to which special attention is due, is occupied with the care of the poor. There's something else that I would like to notice. God's care was for everyone and for every creature. Do you know God didn't just care for the people? He cared for the animals. He said, 6 days thou shalt do thy work. On the seventh thou shalt rest. Now, Sabbath keeping is not Saturday keeping. Sabbath don't mean seven. It means rest. Cease from your work. It might do wholeness people to learn something about that. I don't know. I don't know if it helps you spiritually or not, but it might help you sometime. Amen. 6 days shalt thou do thy work. On the seventh thou shalt rest, that thine ox, thine ass may rest. Amen. That's, you know, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. God, Bible said, rested and was refreshed on the seventh day. And so not only was God interested in us, he was interested in our animals. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even a John Deere needs rest once in a while, you know. And so he said, and I read this over 100 years ago, Adam Clark wrote, and he's talking about England. And England, you know, it was the progressive. It was the one that was getting ahead. It was a great nation. And he said, how criminal to employ the laboring cattle on the Sabbath as well as on the other days of the week. More cattle are destroyed in England than in any other part of the world in proportion by excessive and continued labor. The noble horses in general has no Sabbath. Does God look on this with an indifferent eye? Surely it does not. England, said a foreigner, is the paradise of women, the purgatory of servants, and the hell of horses. That's just something I just wrote down there for you. But I still think that God has a time of rest. And I'm not preaching on that particularly. But we are looking at this seventh year rest. God in the Bible has seven rests. He has, first of all, he had the rest of the day. In the Old Testament, the sixth hour corresponds with the ninth hour of the New Testament. The sixth hour was when they offered the evening sacrifice. After the evening sacrifice, then the priest would rest for that seventh hour. It was their rest. Amen. And so they would do that. And of course, it was Jesus that hung on the cross. And on the ninth hour, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he rested. Amen. See what I'm saying? Then there was a Sabbath, not only the Sabbath hour. That's what I should have said, the Sabbath hour. There was a Sabbath day. That's what I just read you about. Every 7 days they had their rest. It's talked about more in the Bible than any other Sabbath that they had. That was a Sabbath rest. Then there was a Sabbath month. That was a day when they had their special festivals or feasts. Amen. I think Haley's handbook lists 5. O.T. Spence listed 7 of those 7 rests on the seventh month. Then there was what we're talking about here, that seventh year, that Sabbath. That was when your land rested. Anything grew, it was just grown. Everybody could eat of it. Everything was done, and it was for the good of the community. It was so the relationship between brothers could be strengthened by the fact that if your brother had fallen on hard times and you'd loaned him some money to help sustain him, at the end of that, when God, it was called God's release. It wasn't called my release. It wasn't called your release. It was called God's release. And so in God's release, amen, you automatically forgave him that debt. Automatically. Amen. When that time came, that seventh year came, you didn't have to worry about it. It was automatically forgiven. You didn't owe no more. Amen. They didn't really like that a lot. And they would give up, they get against that a lot. Nehemiah had some problems with that because of the fact that they didn't want to give up. Once they bought that person, they wanted to keep them, you know. And in fact, the Bible said, Jeremiah tells us that in Jeremiah, that the reason why that they were gone into captivity was because they didn't keep that Sabbath year. Amen. Their seventh year, they wouldn't keep that Sabbath. They didn't want to release their brothers, and for that reason, they went into captivity for those years that they were there because they didn't want to release that. They didn't want to forgive that debt. They wanted to hold on to it. And, of course, then you have, that was your fifth If I'm right, I know it's the fifth, but I may not have it right. Your sixth year was your prophetical Sabbath, found in the book of Daniel. I'm not going to talk about it. I said sixth. That should have been sixth. And your seventh was the Jubilee year, when everything went back to its original way. Amen. Everything went back. You went back to your land. You not only had your debt forgiven, but you went back to your land. It was yours, the old home place. I'll tell you something. I hate to see an old home place fall into other hands. I don't know about you. There's just something about it. I wanted to stay at that family year after year after year after year. Well, God, when he owned the land, that's the way he did it. He always did it. And it might be of interest to you to know that according to the Jubilee years from the time that it was instituted, Jesus was crucified on the 29th year of Jubilee. Amen. When he released us all from our sins. Yeah. And gave us an inheritance that Adam had from the beginning. Aren't you glad of that? Huh? Hallelujah. That's just kind of a little things that I want to just give to you. But I want to go back to this release here, that year of release when you don't owe me anything at all. It's all over with. It's done. Amen. I've forgiven thee thy debt. You remember, Jesus had some harsh things to say about a man that he would forgive, and that man couldn't forgive his fellow man, you know. He had some hard things to say. In fact, you know, I hope I'm following the Lord in this. I don't know that I am. But I was noticing Matthew's writing. Jesus is writing, and he's talking about if your brother had something against you, go to that brother and talk to him. If he won't listen, you take someone else, go. And then if they won't listen, take you to the church. If they want to listen to you, let him be as a heathen man and a publican. It doesn't mean, what does that mean? Well, a heathen man, you can't hold him accountable because he don't know any better. You can't blame that man over in Africa and that woman for not wearing any clothes. They have no better knowledge than that. You see what I'm saying? And a publican man was so far away from the church, amen, that you had to realize they were just out for their own interest. So it was not someone to shun, it was someone to be won. Am I looking at it right? And they notice this. And he talked about it, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, he's talking about forgiveness. Talking about forgiveness. Let me read something else. I'm not getting this to you, but I'm just trying to follow the Lord in this. But I want to just read you something. Amen. In the 11th chapter of the book of St. Mark, I'll just read it to you. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto you this, under this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And I always read that, and, oh, God, touch him and heal him. You know, he said, you move mountains. Listen to what he said next. Therefore, I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and shall have them. And when you stand praying, when you make up your mind what you're going to pray about, you know, amen. It don't mean when you stand this way. When you got your mind made up, this is what I need from God. Right. If you have aught against any, forgive. Hallelujah. Forgiveness. That's what I'm preaching on. The year for forgiveness. Amen. If you have aught against any, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to talk to you. And so here in the book of St. Matthew, he said, again, I say, if any of you to agree on earth is touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them, my Father which is in heaven. For two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Amen. For two or three are gathered together, and they've truly from the hearts forgiven all those that have all against them, or they got all against them. Amen. When they practice that heart of forgiveness that only God Almighty knows about. Hallelujah. You can expect prayers to be answered.
Right.
Am I reading that? And I like this. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how shall my brother sin against me and not forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 490 times. That sounds something like the book of Daniel to me, and how they stayed in captivity those years. Huh? There's something about that, you know, 70 times 7. 70 times 7. There's something else I noticed in Luke, I think the 17th chapter, and I'm not going to preach a long time. I know I ain't, because I've not got anything to preach, don't seem like. But anyway, he said in the 17th, it is impossible that them offenses will come, but woe unto them to whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and be cast in the sea than they should offend one of these little ones. Take heed yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Yeah. And you know what the apostle said in that next verse? They said, Lord, increase our faith. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I like that. Amen. I've had people do things to me, and I said, don't ask forgiveness. My mind, I said, don't ask forgiveness too quick. I want to just feel that grudge for a little while. I want to enjoy that. Huh? I know I've got to forgive me. Give me just a little time on that, would you please? Amen. You've done that, and I just want to kind of hold on to that feeling. Just, it just feels good. Huh? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, that's the nature of man. We want to hold grudges. We want to not forgive. We want to feel that we've been wronged. Amen. That's the nature of man. We want to do it. But you see, the year of God, the Lord's release had come. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There goes Jack down the street. Yesterday he owed me $10,000. Still, they don't owe me a thing. What happened? The year of the Lord's release came. Woo! Woo. Glory be to God. I'm preaching on forgiveness, the year of the Lord's released. You know, there's some holiest churches, it'd really help them if we'd have one. Huh? It'd really do us good to just have one. Just wake up some morning and reach up on the counter and say, paid in full. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I think it'd just help us a whole bunch, amen, just to have that year of the Lord's release come into our hearts. You notice the book of Daniel, there in the 9th chapter, I want to read you something there if I can, because it tells us who we are and who God is. And I like that, Daniel 9 and 8. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes. That word, confusion of face, is faces of shame. Literally means faces of shame. To our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. We owe you something. Listen to this. To the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Amen? Praise the Lord. On the Jubilee year, the Lord hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Hallelujah. Why should we forgive? Be forgiven? Amen. Why should you say that, Lord? Amen. It's because it's a Jubilee year, and it's a time for everything to revert back to its original plan, and therefore God is willing to give every living soul on the face of this earth. It's not his will that these should perish, but all should come repentance. And amen, did you know, amen, as far as we know in the Bible, that Jubilee year was never used. What about that? There's nowhere I know that you can find in the Bible that that Jubilee year was ever used. But I believe it was used on the cross of Calvary. Yeah. Glory be to God. Right. And if I've got it figured right, I don't know that I have, but if I've got it figured right, in the next 115 years, I think it's 115. I'm using that off the top of my head. Amen. But 115 years from now will be the 70th Jubilee since they started that. It'll be the 70th year of Jubilee since God gave it to Moses. All right. Hallelujah. All right. Glory be to God. You say, Brother Charles, what do you think about it? I'm thinking about when everything goes back. Nevertheless, we according to his promise, look for a new heaven, new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen? And something else he said, for the next time he's going to shorten that just a little. Huh? Amen. If God could stop the time clock in the 69th year, the 69th sevens, amen, and hold that off as long as he had, they tell me prophetically, I'm not a prophecy preacher, but if he did that, amen, what can he do for us? The Lord is coming again. Did you know that? And what I liked about it is the fact that he hung there on the 29th anniversary of the year of Jubilee, that 50th year. You know, 50 years after they crossed, or 50 days after they crossed the Red Sea, God gave Moses the law. Am I right on that? And he told him about that Jubilee. And every 50 years, everything goes back. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I can see an old boy working. His sweat caked on his brown dirt and dust. Amen. And all of a sudden, the trumpets begin to sound. Those priests begin to sound those shofar horns. Amen. And they hear that trumpet going across the land. The Levites are sounding them out. Amen. He looks up and realizes it's the year of Jubilee. Hallelujah. Amen. Drops everything out. Where are you going? Back to the old home place. Amen. Praise God. The intruders are going to be rooted out. I'm going to go down there and drink from that spring. Lay down on my belly. Bury my face in it like I did when I was a boy. Amen. Drink the cool, refreshing waters that God gave to my daddy to farm when we come into this land. I'm going home. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And whenever Jesus hung on the cross on that 29th Jubilee and said, Father, forgive them. It was just a prelude to the fact that one of these days, the forgiven are going to inherit. Nevertheless, we according to promise look for a new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There's coming a homecoming, my friend. Amen. And it's going to be for the children of God. It's a new heaven and it's a new earth. And there's a God intended for us all along. If we can learn to forgive. If God, just learn to forgive. Hallelujah. Did you ever hold grudge? Huh? Amen. I've told you this so many times. I hate to even tell it because I know you've heard it dozens of times. I've been preaching this church ever since 1979. Not consecutively, but off and on. Amen. When I first got saved, about the man finally got down where I didn't have nothing. And he ruined me financially. I got back, Lord, and by the way, I'm telling you, you talk about glad for preaching. I preached on that not too long ago about the foolishness of preaching. I got thanking Brother Prescott. The night I got saved out west of Brandsville at the old tent, Brother Raymond Laster, Brother Gerald Green is preaching, Brother Gerald Green is preaching that night. I couldn't tell you one thing he said, but it got to my heart. Isn't that strange? God gets all the glory in the preacher's message forgotten about. I was preaching on that one day and I asked my church, I said, how many here can, I think I used over here, but anyway, I said, how many here can remember what the preacher preached on the night you got saved? One man raised his hand, or a day, whatever it was. Everybody else couldn't remember. But that foolishness of preaching, amen, willing to get up and proclaim the gospel, amen, that gets a hold of hearts, huh? Hallelujah. Jimmy Brown from Dallin, Alabama, was at the East Side Assembly at backslidden after a few months living with the Lord in a snowstorm. He came there and preached, amen. I can't tell you what he preached, but I heard tongues and interpretation. I heard a prophecy go forth, and I can't tell you what that was. And I heard I said, Mama, my mama's here, and she's never been here very long, just been there a few weeks, and she don't know anybody. God let her give a message and a tongues interpretation. If you're dealing with my heart, amen. Well, you know, it's a just foregone conclusion. He was, but, you know, say when you say if you're dealing with my heart, you're pretty sure he is, you know. But anyway, amen, it happened just like that. I know it wasn't in there. Nobody else heard it, but God was telling me, I took one of yours trying to get your attention. Do I need to take someone else? Amen. And I went to the altar and I got saved. Thank God for salvation. But I'll tell you, after you get saved, the devil starts trying to hang hard feelings and unforgivableness onto you. Amen. He wants to get that in there because if he can get that in there, he can stop the move of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So freely forgiven of everything. And I've told it over again about that man that owed so much, there wasn't no way he and his family, you figure it out, there wasn't no way he could, but he was freely forgiven because he desired it. Then he found an old man, if he could have let him live with out of captivity within a month, he could have him paid and throwed him in prison. That's the way we are. But with God, it's mercy and forgiveness. Hallelujah. And finally, this man, I finally got loose from him. I didn't know what it was supposed to be. You know, unequally yoked. But I remember how that I would, when his name would come up, I just feel that resentment. And I feel that burning feeling of being unjustly treated by him. And I'd say, well, I've forgiven him, but I hadn't. I've told you this before. But I was talking to my brother-in-law one night. I said about Jack, I said, well, I've forgiven him. My wife is very diplomatic. She said, Charles, I'd either forgive him or quit lying about it. Hallelujah. That struck me like a bucket of cold water. And I sat there a minute. I said, you're right. Had a little store up there in a little town we lived in. Place where I'm pastoring right now. Had a little store up there. And I said, I went up there and I walked in the store. I said, Jack, I'd like a carton of Cokes, please. I bought a carton of Cokes. It was all over. I meet him on the street. I was glad to see him. Did you know that same man that told me you can talk about God all you want to, but the almighty dollar is my God. That's what he talked about. Did you know it wasn't long after that Jack had to go to the hospital? They took a bunch of his stomach out. Amen. He come back. I was going to church, went over to a little place called the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. The pastor got up one morning and said, you know what, little country church? He said, you know, I feel like maybe there's somebody here that's given their heart to the Lord, but they've never publicly confessed it. We'd like to give you the opportunity. Jack Hyden stood up and said, I am a Christian. I've accepted Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But it never happened till I forgave him. It never happened till I forgave him. I'm telling you, amen. I wish we'd get to the place, just have the year of the Lord's released. It's not for my glory, Lord, but it's for your glory. I'm thinking about a young man. This young man suffered many things, but he went to export, went to school up there, loved it up there. He was enjoying the studying, the praying, but then his wife began to nag at him to go back home. She didn't like it up there. She kept on till finally he gave up his studies, gave up everything. Go home. And he said, I felt like that since I was home, I needed to support my family. So I had to get a job. And he went to work as a job. And this is a young man that was very conscious of owing people. Amen. Amen. His dad had introduced him to a banker when he was 16 years old. And they borrowed his first money there to buy some cows. And his name had always been good. And he always watched that name. And he went home and went to work. He was having a hard time just to pay his debt. He didn't know, but there's money being spent that he didn't know anything about. That suddenly he was hit in the face with. He had to pay debts that he didn't even know he owed. But anyway, amen. And he got with another preacher. And he had one thing that he really put a lot of value on. He had a guitar that a church, he'd pastored a little church down there in the country. A little church I'd pastored at one time. He pastored that church, and those people loved him. They'd bought him a guitar, not because he was a guitarist, but because he wanted to play a guitar. He wanted to learn how. And he'd always held on to that. He'd always held on to that guitar. He'd always held on to that. He kept holding on to it. And a preacher, a holiness preacher, come by and said, can I borrow your guitar? He's going to go somewhere and preach and need the guitar. He loaned him that guitar. Amen. And then that preacher, he had a hunting dog, and he told that preacher he wanted to sell it. It may not be exactly the way it was, but he told him he needed to sell that dog. And he said, well, I know a person that'll buy it. So he let the guy have the dog and his guitar. Well, he sold the dog, and he kept on waiting, and the guitar never come back. And finally he said to that preacher, he said, you know, my guitar you borrowed, I pawned that. Oh, he said, whatever it costs, I'll get it back. But you know it's too late. They'd sold it. That preacher took his guitar, pawned it, and kept the money. Sold his dog and kept the money. I know what I'm talking about. Now, you talk about hurting. You've already been given, you've given up at export. You've given up there. You've come home. You've encountered debts that you're really not, it's not your fault. And you're trying to make a living for your family. And you're needing the money out of that dog. You're wanting to keep that guitar because it come from the first church you'd ever tried to pastor. And the people loved you and they bought it as a gift of love. And that was a symbol of accomplishment in your life. And you wanted to hold on to that. and somebody borrows it and is supposed to be a homeless preacher and sells it, pawns it rather, and spends the money, sells your dog and keeps the money. He told me, he said, I got to where I couldn't pray. I couldn't pray. I couldn't get a hold of God. He said everything was because I just felt the hurt. I felt like my trust had been so undermined. I was hurt so bad. And said, finally one day, this preacher and himself and the pastor was all in a room together. And so he took a piece of paper and he wrote down, and he wrote down the approximate amount of that guitar, what it was worth. And he wrote down that dog and what he'd sold it for. And he looked, passed it over there, and he said, do you agree that you took my guitar, you sold my dog, and you, that this is really what you owe me? And that, now I'm telling the best I can. He said, yes, I agree. He took it to the pastor. He said, Pastor, do you agree I'm fair in my assessment of what I think these things are worth, and that he owes me that? The pastor said, yes, that's true. And he said, give me my paper back. He reached over. I'm looking for one. I thought I had one. And he got a pen. And he wrote, that's right. He wrote, paid in full. Signed his name at the bottom. And shoved it back across to him. But he said, you know what? He said, my prayer life automatically kicked back in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was the year of the Lord's release. Woo! Glory be to God. It was the year of the Lord's release. Thank God. Hallelujah. Paid in full. The year of the Lord's release. I know I haven't preached this as good as I should probably, but oh, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, I want to know something. Is there a bunch of grudges being held in heaven? Oh, no. No, we don't have grudges up here. It's a land of forgiveness. Everybody's here has been forgiven. Every saint that's here has known what it is to be freely and fully forgiven. And Lord, let that be in this earthen vessel like it is up there. Huh? Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Hallelujah. Well, the Holy Ghost tells me I'm through, so I'm quitting. Amen. The year of the Lord's release. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I may have preached on this here before. I don't know. But I felt like I should preach on today and tell you. Amen. It may be hard, but you'll find it's the easiest thing you ever done. Well, I went up there and bought that coat. It was as though he'd never wronged me. I'm telling you the truth. It's like he never wronged me. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Jodine, you know something about that. Hallelujah. How easy it comes. Hallelujah.
Hear me?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Go ahead.
Hallelujah. Would you just close your eyes? Let's just worship God for a minute. And let's just think how wonderful it is that he forgave us. And you know the good thing about it is still I need a little forgiveness once in a while. Huh? Hallelujah. Jesus told Peter, he that is washed needeth not, you know. You don't need to wash your whole body. You're clean, but not all. Your feet needs washing. And just traveling in this journey, you're going to pick up a little dirt now and then. But he says, I'm able to wash it. Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto thee. Hallelujah. Wash my feet one more time, Lord. Wash it one more time. Hallelujah. Wash them. Amen. There's some things I just can't seem to get over. There's some hurt I don't seem to be able to pray through about. Lord, but would you wash my feet and declare the year of the Lord's release and let me just find that and enjoy it, because I'll be better. I'll live longer and happier if I'll do it. God, in the name of Jesus, take this, yours. Use it, Lord, for your glory. Oh, God, I feel like you sent me down here with that message today to let someone know, not because you're mad at them, not because you're against them, but because you want to forgive them. Hallelujah. You're anxious for them to do their part because you've done your part. Hallelujah. And you want it to flow right on through you. Peace like a river, so gently is flowing. How sweet to my soul is that marvelous peace. Sweeter and sweeter. Each day it is growing. Like billows of glory. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Peace like a river. Oh, God. Oh, God. Flow through this crowd, Lord. Yes, Lord. There's not a soul here, Lord, that isn't wanting to make heaven. There's nobody here that's mean. There's nobody here that's hateful. But there's some that it's hurt. And the devil's used that, Lord, to bind their prayers and bind their ability to serve thee. The devil's using that, Lord. And, Lord, they're just as worthy as I am. They're just as good, and they're just as capable and more so than me, Lord. God, they've got a great work to do, Lord. They just need a little help right now, Lord. Would you help them like you helped me with Jack? Would you help them like you did that young preacher with that preacher that had done him wrong? And it's happened over and over again. Would you help them, Lord? Lord, declare unto us this morning the year of the Lord's release, so that when that final Jubilee year comes, hallelujah, when the trump of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, hallelujah,